Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I just wanted to tell you this morning, my voice is fine. If you mean, you know, Woods' daughter got married yesterday, and I just want to let you know, I showed so much more restraint than others present at the reception. So, you know, my voice is good. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And God, we just look into your word each time and just ask you to speak to us and show us the deepness of your truth. And that, Lord, to speak this in a special way that we can go out in this world and just and see you working and being committed to you and having desire for you and just seeing you move in a powerful way. So I pray you anoint me this morning. I just speak words of the Spirit, and I pray each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we'd like for you to turn to, do you know where I want you to turn to? We've been turning to John for 10 months. All right. I've enjoyed John. Have you all enjoyed John? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was, you know, extremely convicted in my study and, you know, really was, thought it was insightful, very insightful. And, so appreciate God's word. But let's look this morning at Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Matthew 6, verse 10. I read this. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And you can see where I underlined there is on earth. On earth. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what we're going to do this morning is to look at the Lord's Prayer, what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. It's amazing how many people, believers and unbelievers, know this prayer, you know, by heart. And I confess, I've always acknowledged the Lord's Prayer is important, okay? But I will confess, I was slightly dismissive, maybe, of it, because to me, it just seems so general, so liturgical, you know. And I'm just, if you know, I'm just not into liturgy, and I just, you know, it's just personally, it seems like you miss the personal part of, you know, going before the Lord. Just an opinion, not saying that's the truth. But that's so, that's kind of the way I looked at it. And however, what happened, I was challenged. I was challenged, as a lot of us, but I was challenged by R.T. Kendall. And so some of you know R.T. Kendall. We've looked at some of his books. And he's someone who I personally have a tremendous respect for, and I know others do too. But I was challenged by him, and he said this. He said, "You want to pray the perfect prayer, pray the Lord's Prayer. It's the perfect prayer." And then he said, "It's the perfect prayer, and it also is a prayer that impacts things here on earth." And he said, "I pray it every single morning." I thought, okay, maybe I better take another look. Maybe I, you know, take another look at this and not just, you know, read through it. So what I did, I spent more time meditating on it, and then I started praying every morning. And so I've probably been doing it, you know, several months, you know, and doing that, just, you know, asking God to show me what I'm missing, which I found out was a whole lot. Okay, it really was a lot. But anyway, just to start things off, I want to just read the Lord's Prayer to you, and then we're going to look at some things. Matthew 6, 9. "Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And all God's people say, amen. Amen. So what I want to do is I want to share something very important. personal. So when I talk about this, I want to share what the Lord's been teaching me about this. So it's very personal what he's teaching me. And I want to say that before, because it may not be what he's teaching you. You must say, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. Well, that's just fine. I mean, that's fine. It's kind of what he's speaking to me and how he's touched me. And so, you know, if you have a little different take on it, it's okay. It's just what's, you know, he stirred in my heart. And so I'm making this very, very personal. Okay? So we'll just look at the Lord's Prayer and just see what he had. The perfect prayer. So Matthew, you know, 6:9 starts off like this. It says, pray like this. Okay. Pray like this. R.T. Kendall was right. It's the perfect prayer. I mean, why would Jesus pray like this? Well, you need to adjust that, Jesus. It's like, no, that pray like this. Now, as we go through this prayer, I'm going to put in parentheses what I feel like Jesus revealed to me. Okay? So you see in parentheses what he revealed to me. And so I tell you, it's what he revealed to me is not inspired. So you can totally forget about the parentheses if you look at that. I don't know. Well, I see. So I'm just letting you know. What's in parentheses is what I'm partaking, what I feel like the Lord is showing me, but it is definitely not part of Scripture. So let's look at this as we go through. He says, pray like this. Then he starts off. Jesus is telling us to start off. Number one, I have these numbers. So this is number one. Number one says this, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Nothing is above you. That's what he's showing there. Our Father in heaven, nothing is above you. It reminds me like what it says in Psalms 113, verse 4. It said, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory is above the heavens. So Jesus, God, is above all things. He's kind of out of the mess, above all things, and he's looking at this, and he knows exactly what is going to happen. He knows exactly what he's going to do. This is not surprise. It's not a surprise. I always, you know, I never ever talk about politics or anything, but like some people look at this election and say, oh, that was a surprise. It wasn't a surprise to God. Okay? He knew what was going to unfold here. He's not surprised. And so I'm thinking, well, our Father in heaven, you know exactly what's going to happen. He does. You know, with that also, he knows exactly what's going to happen in my life. He's over my life. If he's over the world, he's kind of over my life. You know, it's like, okay. So he knows what is going to happen within my life. He knows where it's going. He knows everything around me, and he's not surprised. And when you think about that, when I'm thinking about that, I said, you know, that's kind of a lot of security there. It's kind of, that's really secure. No, he knows what's happening. He knows exactly what's happening. Now, I don't understand it, but he does. So it's like, okay. Then number two, you read, and it says, hallowed be your name. You're right, and you do right. Hallowed be your name, which means holy be your name. Yeah, holy be your name. You do right. You are right, and you do right. Now, it's like, in the beginning was God. That was just it, in the beginning. And he was right, and he is doing right then, okay? It wasn't a question, okay? And he was right then. Therefore, if he was right then, he's right now. Lord, nothing is above you, and you do right. It's like, so all of a sudden, I'm looking at this, and for me, my perspective is changing. It's funny when you read this, and I share with you, it's like, well, I knew that. Somebody asked me, and we'd have a discussion. I intellectually know this. But when I look at it and I think, do I really live this and do I believe this? You know, and so that's where the challenge comes in. It's like, oh my, no, God, you're over everything and you do right. You do right. It's like, okay, that means he's over me and he's going to do right by me. Now it's jab in, but I don't like what you're doing right about me. You know, it's not my plan to what you're doing, you know. And you look at this, who asked you? No, he didn't say that, but I can see him. So here we go. Hallowed be your name. You are right and you do right. So it's like, oh my. So it's like my position with the Lord is like changing. And it's like what he's doing, it's kind of, I'm coming in connection. It's, okay, Lord, you are, you know, you kind of, you gotta got your arms around this. And so we continue. Now this is the next verse. This is Matthew 6, 10. But so look at number 3. Look at number 3. So he's over everything. Hallowed be your name. You do right. You are right and you do right. And then with number 3, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Why? He's over everything, and he's right. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God, I want how you pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So you look at that. Now, what I love what it says next, and I don't know why this jumped out at me. It's like the first time I ever saw it. Of course, it isn't, but it's like the first time I ever saw it. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Now, I'm a big one. We have a home in heaven, building treasures in heaven. We do the things we're supposed to. We have super security in that. And we just struggle through this life the best we can. You know, I probably don't say that, but that's kind of what I think maybe it comes across. But that's not what he's saying. He didn't say anything about that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. On earth. As it is in heaven. Look at the total perspective. On earth as it is in heaven. So you read it all together with my parentheses. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and I will watch as things naturally unfold on this earth. Oh man, I'm part of what's happening here. I'm part of what's happening here. And he is, and the word here is naturally unfolding things on this earth. How does he pull this off? He's over all things. Holy is his name. He will do right. And his kingdom will come. And it is going to naturally unfold. You know, if I don't do right, he said, man, I messed up. I just got to quit. You know? No. It's naturally going to unfold. And I need to pay attention. I need to pay attention what he is unfolding. Not trying to so stick my 2 cents in it and try to adjust what he's doing based on what my perception of the way things should be. He said, no, he is doing something and I need to pay attention and watch it naturally unfold. See what he is doing. You see what I'm saying here? Very interesting. Now, this is for me. This is the way I saw it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and I will watch as things naturally unfold on earth. Your kingdom equals your will equals on earth. Again, note the word on earth. On earth. See, God is always working in the earth. Therefore, I need not only ask, but pay attention to what naturally is unfolding and join him in what he is doing. Pay attention. Gosh, I'm praying nothing's happening. No, something's happening. He's not paying attention. Something is happening. You're not paying attention. God, this is the way I see things. Your kingdom will come the way I see it. And I lift this up to you, but I'm going to watch and see what you naturally start bringing to fruition so I can step in and join what you're doing. Now, when I say that, where would my eyes be? Where would my eyes be? Yeah, you know? Well, this happened. I don't know. But, you know, this is unfolded. But this has happened. I don't know. But this is happening, and this is happening. Because it is happening. That's one thing that came out of here. It is happening. It is moving. And so we pray, but we pray and we say, God, this is the way I see this, and I give it up to you. And then we know he is moving. So I'm going to read that again. I need not only ask, but pay attention to things naturally unfolding and join God in what he is doing. Remember, we're trying to get God on our side. That's what we're trying to get God. And God's trying to get us on his side. See? On his side. That's what he's trying to do. I'm doing stuff. I'm trying to get you in tune with me. But you're not robots. You need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. And so what also this verse reflects, immediate activity. Immediate. And I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, now in my life, my Christian life, I don't see immediate activity the way I perceive it. God, what are you doing? Why? I've been praying for 5 years for this. Nothing. You know, so I'm, you know, I've already told you I'm an excellent complainer. You know, I just complain before God. And God says, I'm moving. I'm moving all over the place. I am doing something. I am. And, you know, I am doing something that's been connected with your prayers. And you know what the Bible says when he starts? You know when the Bible says he starts? I mean, it is very clear. He said, immediately. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff in my life that's just not happening immediate. It's just not, you know. And he said, but he said, no, I'm moving immediately. Because, surprise, it may not be all about me. It may be about all sorts of people around me that are connected into what he's doing, you know. And so all of this thing is putting in gear, and he is moving it all together the way it's supposed to be. And it's like, and you know, for me, it's like, he's telling me, your mind is just not big enough to comprehend this. But I'm telling you here what you do. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. And so, and when he is moving, that's called his kingdom. That's his kingdom. He's moving. He is moving. I love that there's one verse, and also in Matthew 12:28, it says this. He says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons. A lot of people, oh man, that's great. I can go cast out demons and, you know, get off base. And hallelujah if that comes up and you do that. But that's not his point. He's not making that point. He's making another point. And he said, but if it's by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come on you. That's what he's telling you. Then, when I move, the kingdom of God has come on you. When is God moving? All the time. The kingdom of God is coming on you. Let's all in unison say, but, right? That's what you're going, that's where you're going. But, God, you don't know my situation. Now, we're not saying that, but that's what we're saying. But, you don't, wait a minute. Our Father, right in heaven. Oh, he probably does. Hallowed be thy name. You'll do the right thing. Pray this prayer. It's the perfect prayer. See? So the dynamic here is fascinating to me. The kingdom is God working now. Right? I want somebody, anybody else, have a better definition. The kingdom will go to heaven. But he said when Jesus works, when he says, I cast out a demon, the kingdom's working now. so the kingdom's here. And it says, God, bring your kingdom come. He said, pray, come. Well, we're saying, work now. What he knows he's working now. He wants us to realize he's working now. You know, so everything is pulling us and putting us in a different gear to see what's going on around us. You know, I prayed a message a while back that was revolutionary for me. And it said, you have a mess. God doesn't promise to remove the mess. He promises to take you through the mess. And I thought, well, that's why I have all these messes. You know, he's just like, he's not going to move them. He's going to take me through them. And in the meantime, he's going to teach me and use me to minister to others in the mess. Now, that was a revelation. Oh. See, don't we want rid of the mess? We really do. Just, and I'd be happy. And the most important thing is me being happy. Right? So, I don't think the most important thing to Jesus is me being happy all of a sudden. I just, you know, it's just not. You know, there's other things going on that may not make me very happy. So anyway, what we have here. So because of this, Jesus specifically says this about his kingdom, specifically says this about what he's doing. And what does he say? He specifically says, on earth. On earth. And I want to just share with y'all, you're on earth, if you hadn't noticed, you know, you're on earth. So this applies. So it's just a fascinating thing. So we need to pay attention to what God, and I put this word, naturally doing now. The reason I put naturally, it's natural for him. It's natural for him. He is naturally... Oh, I want a big miracle that such and such happens, and, you know, the lights flash and all that, you know. That's why. You know, because it's naturally going to happen. It's going to happen. How many of you have been through something, you prayed about something, and you look back, gosh, that worked out. I don't even understand how it worked out. It just worked out. It naturally worked out. You see what I'm saying? And that's what Jesus continues to tell us, and that's what the scriptures tell us, and that's what you see it. You see in the Bible. All right, so here we have, repeat, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and I, Wallace, will watch as things naturally unfold on earth and be in amazement that God is working. Vision changes. Oh my, God is working. There's no fear in that. There's not any fear in that. Nothing. See? So, now we come to number four. Number four. This one, I'll just go ahead and say. This one I felt was more stunning than the rest of them. For me, it was just like, you gotta be kidding me. This is so obvious that I have so missed. And I probably so missed it because I was dismissive of the Lord's prayer. He goes, you don't pay attention. All right. Number four. Give us this day our daily bread. Since each day the spiritual invades the physical and naturally flows, sustaining us. Now, I want you to read that again. Now, this is what he told me. Maybe you don't see that, but it's like... Give us our daily bread. I mean, how many of you think, okay, we're not there, we get a loaf of bread every morning. You know, it's just kind of, he runs his own welfare system. Yeah. That's all he's saying. He's saying, give us this our daily bread since each day the spiritual invades the physical. What's that called? The kingdom. That's the kingdom. And it happens each day. And he tells us, I'm going to feed you each day. How am I going to feed? I'm going to feed you spiritually each day. Spiritually, I'm going to feed you each day. Because each day, spiritual invades the physical and naturally flows, sustaining us. I go to a job, I get work, I get paid, go buy the groceries. You know, I do the things I have to do. God supplies for us. You see, I work this day. I work this day in you. But I didn't see lightning strike or voice from heaven, you know. No, there's no need to do that. That's not how I'm working. That's not how I work. And you need to understand how I work on earth. And Wallace, you should look at the Lord's Prayer and pray the Lord's Prayer, and then you would have an idea how I work. And you know, I put a sub, how dare you find anything I say dismissive? It's like, oh goodness. So anyway, we look at this. So it's a fascinating thing. Again, the kingdom, when you look at it, the kingdom is God working now. The kingdom. Okay, it says in Colossians, it says in Ephesians, that God takes us out of this life of sin and brings us into his kingdom. He says it, brings us into his kingdom. Okay, well, he said, this is the kingdom. He's working in us specifically, and that's the kingdom. See, God is present and provides now. The spiritual invades the physical now. Okay, I want to see the spiritual invade the physical tomorrow. I want to see the spiritual here. Yes? No. It's now. Jesus said, if I cast out a demon, the kingdom's come on you. What happened? He did something. That made the kingdom. He did something. Well, when we come into his kingdom, he's doing something for us. All the time. All the time. So the spiritual invades the physical at the present. At the present. The move of God is always in the present. Don't say, I hope God moves tomorrow. God doesn't worry about tomorrow because God is moving today. Pay attention. He will move tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Now, he actually says that. Later on, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. That's what he's saying. Wait, don't worry about it. God, you don't understand what's happening. You don't understand. What, and I need to get, you don't understand. But it says, our Father who art in heaven, you can't have your hand over all this mess, God. It's too messy. You know, hallowed be thy name. You will do right. But I know you need some help here. This is way too hard for you to work on. See? Well, you see, I have this picture of God going, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, God, speak to me. Speak to me. Which just got up there. He's got three different kinds of Bibles you can read. You know, we want God to speak with us without reading nothing. We don't want to study. We don't want to read. You know, and God said, no, that's how I speak. I was watching. I love Alpha. We have the class called Alpha. Nikki Gumbel said, people said, God needs to speak to us. He has. You have the Bible. You see, isn't that amazing? Anyway. So as we go through, we see this, and this is where we have to take this home. And if you're like me, you struggle. You go, no, because this can't be right. This cannot be right. I mean, for this to be right, I'd really have to trust God. I would really, really have to trust God for this to be right. And it's this. Daily bread is daily spiritual sustenance invading the physical. So what are you worried about? What are your worries? Now, in unison, say, but. See, I mean, that's how I know any of you that any of you here don't believe this, really don't believe this, when you say, but. And when you think, but. And when you think, but, you're thinking your circumstances. But. God goes, oh, did you read the first part of the prayer before? He started it off, our Father in heaven. How much control does he have over the world? And then he says, holy be your name. You are right and you do right. But, see, the whole thing flows. It's fascinating. And by the way, I'm not talking to you. I told you this was personal. I mean, I'm the one that's like, oh, good grief. You know, I'm there reading this and going, but, and God goes, what'd you just say? You know, I didn't say it, Alan, but you thought it. You know, you thought it. I know you thought it. So you look at this and it's fascinating. So we'll read it again. Daily bread, right here in this prayer, daily bread is daily spiritual sustenance invading the physical now. When does the miracle happen? Now. That's when he moved. Jesus said, I cast out a demon. Right there. The Spirit has come upon you now. See? In unison. But, you know, but, no, there's no but to it. It's now. It's immediate. And he moves now. His kingdom. And so that's the message. And so we meet. It's like, my goodness. So, and here's a neat, fascinating thing. You know, the Israelites, they got manna from heaven, you know, and that's their blessing. I mean, that's a kingdom now. And that's somewhat, some of us, well, we just want to go outside and just blows the bread fall on our head, you know, so we're done, you know, like that. And so they get the manna, and then God said, now listen, before the Sabbath, you can get a double thing and bring it in, you know, and then we'll give you the next day, you know, because I don't want you to work that day. Oh, okay. He told them then. It was in town. So, okay. Now, some of them would get manna and they'd save it up. They'd just stick some in. So they save extra manna. You know what happened? It all spoiled. It was rotten. You praying for your blessings and trying to put them in your corner of your house, they will spoil and it will be rotten. See? So you're praying for rotten bread. You see what I'm saying? God, I want this blessing now, and I can't wait. I need you to show me now. It's in the future. I want this now, and I got a plan for this in the future. And you're getting that blessing like that. It'll spoil. And when the time comes to use it, it'll be detestable. Why? Because you didn't depend on God now. You didn't depend on him speak now. You didn't depend on him to work now. Why? Because we don't believe he is over everything. We don't believe he does everything right. And we believe we got to help him. And then he'll bless us. You know? Then he'll take care of us. But that's just not what this prayer says. That's not what this prayer says. So, now we go to the next one. Number five. And it says this. This was really fascinating. Number five. And forgive us our debts as we also have given our debtors, thus releasing everything to you. My words. Why? You forgive debts. You forgive your debt. You just release everything to God. Now, you know what this means? You don't carry anything in the presence. Released. You don't care. It's released. See? And you know what we want? God goes, and for you, it's released. What's the quality? How do I get God to release my debts and not hold it again and release it in our daily walk? He goes, it's easy. You release. See, when we release everything to God. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, thus releasing everything to you. What's become the primary thing in our life? What's happened? What's the primary thing? Who takes care of everything? God. He takes care of the whole thing. We went for it. We take care of that. We release it. Okay, everybody in unison say, But, right? It's right. I mean, by the time I'm going through and studying this, you know, I was looking, I said, Lord, I don't believe anything you're saying. I mean, it's like I'm trying to, you know, work out my own religion here. I mean, it's like, holy cow. So I didn't want to confess all that to you, but that was like, I cannot believe what you're saying here. Now, there's something here we need to know just in summary. Daily forgiveness releases God in the moment. When do we receive the spiritual sustenance? Now. What do we do to give it? Release people, and it releases God. See, it's now. It's the whole thing. It's now. The focus is on now, so releasing everything to you. Now here's something interesting. Debt. The word debt here literally means that which is owed, what is due. Okay, it is due. So when it says here, forgive us what is due, meaning negative. Forgive us for what is due me. Okay? Now, below in the next verse, you see in verse 14, Jesus uses the word trespass, which can be translated this. This made me laugh. I mean, this made me laugh. Trespass can be translated blunder. Blunder. It's a, oh, so you forgive my sin. Yeah, I got that. But you're a stinking mess. You just blunder into this, you blunder into that. It's, oh my, you're like a bull in a china closet. Gosh, that's what he's asking us to forgive. The blunders, you know? He goes, if you forgive their blunders, I'll forgive your blunders. It's a walk. It's an immediate walk. It's blunders. It has to do with our daily walk and our walk with God and our walk with others. We ask God to overlook our blunders. Well, we have to ask confessors to get our pardons and say, I'm forgiven. Yeah, I know you're forgiven, but you're a mess. You're a forgiven mess. And if you confess this and recognize it, I will overlook it. If you confess your blunders, I will overlook it. See, our blunders don't keep us out of heaven. Our blunders just make everybody around us miserable. And everybody else around us wishes we would go to heaven, you know. So, anyway, so you see this, like, that's amazing. And so what it's saying, God, in the blunders, okay, God, don't give us our due. I'm a man, but don't give us our due. And we likewise will overlook the daily blunders of others and not give them their due. You see? It's just like, you know what I mean? Have you ever done somebody blunders? You just, I'll teach them. You know, I'll throw my trash in their backyard. So the whole point of it is we release everything to God. Now, can you see? Now, this is covered in detail by the Apostle Paul in other parts of Scripture, but it talks about our walk and how we walk with the Lord. And, you know, without Jesus, you can read this and become real legalistic. All right, I got to be nice no matter what they say. You know, I got to take the high road. And, you know, they are just irritating the daylights out of me, but I'm going to be sweet and kind. And so you're going through the day and you go home that night. You just scream at your wife. You're so fed up with all these people you have to be nice to. Come on, right? Or we can flip that out. Or the husband, he just comes soldering in. You know, he's had a good day, and you fought the kids, fought the neighbors, and everything. He said, how you doing? Don't even talk to me. You see what I'm saying? So what he's saying here is it's not just like a legalistic be good. It's like, okay, Lord, I want to give this up to you, and I know I'm not doing right. You don't count this against me, and I'm going to try not count this against them because I'm wanting to see you work. See? There's something else happening here because I want to see you work. And I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do anything that will hinder that. So I'm releasing the blunder. I am releasing the blunder. And I want you to release my blunders. And so we know we're releasing it, but we're watching God work. You see what? It changes. Now, how do we know God's going to work? Oh, our Father who art in heaven, who's over everything, hallowed be your name. You know, and so you're working, and then you're daily, immediately giving me sustenance. Okay, Lord, I release him to you like that. Okay, your sustenance. So, do you see the dynamic spiritual power that's taking place? And it's oh, I just got to be good to this person. He's an idiot, and I'm tired of talking to him. You know, it's like, oh, go ahead a minute. Lord, this guy's just, this is a mess. I just release it to you. And there's spiritual sustenance. There's spiritual sustenance. All of a sudden you have power from God because you got working. When does God work? Now. Naturally. I had someone share the other day. They said they were so frustrated, things were happening. And said, it just frustrated. Lord, I can't do it. I just give it to you. Show me something. Just give it to you. Like that. And they said, they just told me, I wouldn't even talk about this message. And it says, it just a peace came over me. Just came over. Media sustenance. Well, what happened is look it to God, give it to God, and there was that daily bread. Sustenance. There's power. See, you see, I want to see God work. I'm going, oh my God, God, you're telling me in the Lord's Prayer that I dismissed several years ago. You see what I'm saying? So it's overwhelming when you start looking at this and what the Lord is telling us. Now, okay, let's look at number 6 here. And this one, this has really caused a lot of people a lot of frustration. Number 6, this is down in verse 13, but... And he says this, and you're talking to God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, so that nothing is hindering your work. That's my word. So that nothing is hindering God's work. Okay, we're locking into God, because I don't want anything to hinder your work. And so we say, lead us into temptation, okay, but deliver us from evil. Now what's... What's interesting here, pay attention, they're giving everything to God, and you're praying the Holy Spirit into every situation. This is what this is. Now, the word temptation, now I don't understand this. I don't understand it, okay? Rarely, if ever, is the word temptation used in the sense of enticement to sin. When you see it, no, temptation, very seldom is that word used as an enticement to sin. Now, that's what we think it is. No, I mean, that's what we look at. But the word, and this is what I don't understand, the word is translated testing. It's not temptation. It's translated testing. And you look in every Bible, and it says temptation. But you look... In your, you have little Greek concordances and all this stuff. You want to look at this, you know, if you don't have nothing else to do. And he'll use this word and he'll show it and you say, testing. Sometimes it is used in temptation. Of course, it doesn't mean that. That's me. So I don't know, in all the brilliance of people who've translated the scripture, why they don't use testing. But that's what the word says. So now it kind of switches things. Lead us not into testing. And I'm going, how many of you say big amen there? You know, amen. You know, I've been there. Don't, no, just tell me. I always had this joke. Just give me a pamphlet. Somebody can read that. Don't take me there. I don't want to go, you know. Now, but when you look at it, what is he saying here? What is the point in this prayer? So if you look at it, it's testing. It says, we engage God daily. Now, why we do that? When are we fed? When's the sustenance? Now. When's the kingdom? now. Okay? So we engage God daily. He's asking us to engage God daily to mitigate. To mitigate. Okay? Interesting word. To mitigate the need for testing in order to get our attention. To mitigate the need for testing in order to get our attention. We're just hopping along, got Jesus figured out. He says, okay, boom, handle this, Wally. Handle this, Wally. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, Lord, help me. Please show me how to get this. Okay, we're back on track. See? Well, what are you saying here? The prayer, he says, pray. You know, pray that we engage godly to mitigate the need for testing in order to get our attention. And the whole thing of this prayer is to put us one-on-one God in the now, to see him work in the now, and to do his work naturally in the now. In the now. God needs our attention to deliver us from evil. How can he deliver us from the evil? Oh my God, there's Wallace speeding 80 miles an hour and I got to, you know, protect him and get him out of that car. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, I need your attention so I can take care of all the things and deliver you from that evil. That's the reason. That's the reason for the testing. And so, if I don't lead him in testing, means I'm looking at God and he doesn't need to test me to deliver me from evil. Now, I'm, you know, about this time, I'm standing up going, hallelujah, you know? I mean, it's like, Jesus, you really got your act together. See, you look at this, and the word evil, that's very funny. A lot of this translated evil one is Satan. It's not just evil. They translate evil one. So you can be delivered from the evil one who is at operation in this world. So, have this picture. God needs our attention to deliver us from the evil one so that nothing hinders God's work. Why is he, you know, leading us into testing to refine us, to get our eyes on him so he can deliver us from the evil one? See, well, Lord, don't lead me into testing because I'm talking to you and you just lead me to where I should go. And he says, I'm not going to hinder your work, and he will deliver me from the evil one. You okay? See? So, fascinating. The word, look at it. All right, now we have number 7. Now, this actually is a continuation of the previous verse, and it is not in a lot of translations, and it's discussions whether it was added late, you know, later or something, not in original manuscripts, and have all things written up about it. But they all agree it's right. It's a correct interpretation coming from the Old Testament. So it's not wrong. It's just a question whether you should add it here. Well, I personally really like it here. And the national, the New American Standard version of the Bible includes it. In your Bible, you'll see a note. It'll have a thing you look at, and it'll show you, well, this is in some translations. And if you ever want to look into the reasons why and why not, welcome to do that. So I'm just including the New American Standard Bible. It says this. For, this is number seven. So when you come down, it leads us not to temptation, deliver us from evil so that nothing will hinder your work. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And you are bringing everything in line with yourself. I love that. I love that. For what God is doing, and it's engaging us in this interaction to bring everything in line with him. With him. That's what he's doing. And this verse kind of capsulizes that. You know, it's probably, if it was added, why they did add it. And you, for yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, and you are bringing everything in line with yourself. I'm getting you right, Wallace. Getting you right. You really should have paid more attention to the Lord's Prayer much earlier, But now it's better than ever. All right? See, God is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and he is moving everything, all of this, everything, to bring into line his will, his purpose. This is what he's doing to bring in his line, and he's trying to get us to engage with what he's doing. See, engage. That's the reason all our but takes us out of what he's doing, and he can't engage us. We can't engage with him what he's doing. We're too busy saying but. I just want you to know that is a curse word upon the whole congregation. But, right? It is. It just is. Now, so what God is saying here, is says, give God time. Why don't you work physically when I think? He said, give me time. Have patience because I'm at work. You'll see it, but give me some time. I'm at work. You see where God's working. We join him. And we see him working today because the Spirit is today. Our sustenance, the spiritual invades the physical, is today. And we gain strength today. Our focus is on God today. And it's the power of God at work today in us. It's like, oh my gosh, it's incredible. So I'm going to leave you with this. I encourage you to meditate on this prayer. Or you can take 40 years to get there like me. And it's this. And when you have a specific prayer, now this is when you start praying this over and over, you have an issue come up, and you look at that issue, oh Lord, 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 and you pray that prayer, and then that issue falls into line, you know, oh my gosh, there's a whole work of God coming in here, you know. I may not like it, but there's a whole work of God. So you have an issue, you can pray that prayer around that issue, then all of a sudden you have insight on that issue, because we know that God is working. So I encourage you to pray the prayer, apply it to your specific issues. Now, in closing here, I'm gonna read this prayer, how I rewrote it. Okay, I added to it. Didn't rewrite it. Don't rewrite anything in the scriptures. How I added to it for me personally. All right? So here's me personally now praying to God in some sort is bring up issues. All sorts of issues. I'll just read to it. Just follow along. I use in the parentheses that you've already seen. And you just, dear Lord, my Father who is in heaven, nothing is above you. Holy is your name. You do right. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I will watch his things naturally unfold on earth. Give me to this day my daily bread, since each day the spiritual invades the physical and naturally flows to sustain me. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me, thus releasing you, thus releasing everything to you. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil so that nothing is hindering your work. Because yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and you are bringing everything in line with yourself. Amen. Amen. And then God says, Wallace, rejoice in the Lord always. I say, rejoice. Makes sense. So, it's not hard. It's hard. Read it. I encourage you to read it. And we'll close with this. Let us rejoice and keep it simple. The Apostle Paul said, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we give all things to you. And truly, the depths of what you're saying is overwhelming. And I too, I pray for each person here that this prayer would speak a little different, you know, and to them, and that's great because your word goes out. It does come back void. And as we look to it, you are our teacher. But I do pray in whatever manner to apply the specifics of what Jesus is saying through the Lord's Prayer to every situation you face, to every situation we face. And then all of a sudden we see the dynamic of the reality of God working today in every moment of our lives. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.